Okay, here we go. Okay, thank you everybody for coming these weeks before Pesach. As you can see here, Harvey already started doing Pesach cleaning. I don't know if we checked the room yet, but I guess we're taking in less chametz. Today's topic, we got some chametz in there, but today's topic we call numb to the crumbs. Bedikas chametz, from Legos to Svarim. Now, one might think, what chametz do you have inside Legos? So actually, if you get chametz inside those Lego pieces, it's really hard to get it out. Yeah. But
I never thought of that,
Rabbi. Right? Kids do the funniest things.
And melt them down and start over.
Yeah, yeah. You never know where you could find chametz. And I'd be remiss if I didn't. I'm not going to sing the song, but there's a quite an interesting song made by A.B. Rodenberg. I've got the Here Come Pesach Blues, which really sounds straight out of Memphis, where they sing a blues song about the troubles that Jewish women have cleaning for Pesach. And it is a very, very, very big burden. And yeah, a Talmud of mine was telling me this week, yeah, my mother used to put all the Legos, all the toys into the bath and soak them before Pesach to make sure there's no chametz on it, and cleaned every toy, you know, hand by hand. I was happy to hear the guy said that now, I guess the kids are older, she doesn't do this anymore. Okay, good. But there are a lot of extreme cleaning measures that people employ come Pesach. There are lots of immigrants that people employ before Pesach too. But there's a lot done before Pesach. And okay, some people have whole speeches about spring cleaning, and Pesach cleaning is not spring cleaning. That being said, there are differences of hagim, opinions. A lot of times people do what they saw in their parents' home, what their parents did, they do. And, you know, hilchos shalom bayis, I don't get involved. I mentioned to my wife, you know, I'm giving share on this topic. Maybe you want to, you know, watch it. She want to hear what I have to say. So, right?
She could probably give it.
She would give a different share than I would give, probably. But, yeah, we'll leave it at that. So, today's topic is a tricky topic when you talk about bedikas chametz, what to do, what not to do. And people have their opinions, their minhagim, what they saw in their parents' home. I think it's easier to convince men, like last week's share, whether to put on tefillin, not to put on tefillin, chol hamoed, than to convince women what to clean or even what not to clean when it comes to Pesach. So I'm not going the route of giving a speech in general about cleaning, but I want to talk about one specific aspect of cleaning, which I think is a great shiloh. Right? Let's say you're talking to my terminology, I'll put a Baal Tshuva from Missouri. Okay? Rabbi, tell me about what do I have to do for Pesach? I have to clean. Okay. Why do I have to clean? Because you can't have chametz. Okay. What constitutes chametz? What's chametz?
Breadcrumbs,
okay. Ooh, you used the word crumbs, right? I'll start with the word, yeah, you can't have bread, you can't have unleavened product in your house on Pesach. Now, we know in halacha, everything, a lot of things are based on size, right? We're going to get to the Seder night. How big is your cup? How big are your matzahs? How much maror do I have to eat? Everything is so based on size, right? Nowadays they have these nice charts. You could just measure up your matzah with the chart, your maror, your dal kosos. They have this. Is there a chart how big the chametz has to be? Anyone see that chart yet? Now, Avi's looking at me with that business mind. He says, well, maybe we should start a business. Yeah, after this year, there might be a very good business of how big chametz to look for. What do you think? That's a pretty major, important question. How big of a size of chametz do you have to look for?
Just get it done.
Huh?
Just get it done.
So he'll just eat everything? There are some specks of chametz, which I dare say even a dog won't be able to so easily get to. Right? That speck inside your Lego piece. Right? A dog's not going to be able to get to it. He might eat your Lego piece. But, right? If you have chametz jammed inside a Lego piece, if you have chametz in the binding of a sefer, not just any sefer, this is your Gemara. This is what you go to sleep with every night. What am I going to do? Okay, so you'll say, I'll take my Gemara with me to Orlando. Okay, that's one way to deal with your chametz problems. But if you got chametz in the binding of your Gemara, what are you going to do? They're very yummy pretzels, but that little piece that somehow flew off and landed directly in the binding. And you went to Goldenberg, he's like, I'll have to undrill the whole thing to get it out. Not so simple. Do people rebind their Gemaras every year before Pesach? It's good business. So that's what I want to talk about today. The size exactly of chametz. And this is something I've realized as you go through halacha, you go through topics. The more a topic is clear in halacha, the more Jews have an understanding of what's going on, and everything's clear. But the more something is not so clear in halacha, then you get into trouble. When things are not clear in halacha, that's when we're like, I don't know. Good question, Rabbi. So let me go through some background, and then I want to hit on this particular question. How do you find, or what is the shear for chametz that you have to look for? Now, there's a basic machlokas in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. What's the reason that we do bedika? What's the purpose of a bedikas chametz? So Rashi says it's very simply halachic. There's an isser of bal yirah bal yimatzeh. There's an isser of thou shalt not see chametz that we know people could be over on. I just told the story the other day, one of the shirim I was giving, where I once ended up in a luxury suite. I must have told this over the years, at a basketball game. And that suite happened to be owned by Nabisco. So we walked in there and we were surrounded by Chips Ahoy, Oreos, everything you wanted was like right there for us on Pesach. Like, okay, what do we do now? We took the key, opened up, and there we are. This is your suite for the night.
That's a tough situation in terms of ownership, because you're allowed to take, but it's not yours.
Right. Right. Seemingly, you have this sometimes in hotels, too. Sometimes you'll find in the hotel room, they leave things out there. Okay, so they might charge you for every, you know, little thing you use, other than the two water bottles they give you. But the third one's not on the house. But yes, similarly, these type of things. So that's a whole, there are many discussions on the Isser Bal Yirah Bal Yirah Matzeh, what constitutes that or not. But Rashi's opinion is the reason why we do a bedika, the reason why we clean, is we shouldn't be over, we shouldn't transgress Bal Yirah Bal Yirah Matzeh. Tosos, in contrast, says the reason why we clean is we shouldn't come to have chametz around our property, and we might come to eat it. Now, there are different ways people might come to eat things. There's the desperate, starving person who sees chametz. Now, most good Orthodox Jews, even if you're hungry and you have to come across Oreos, you're not going to eat it. There are, though, those people that sometimes could be mindless. And they see something there, and there's innately, right? If you see food, right? You just pop it in your mouth, only realizing afterwards. Yeah. I remember somebody told me a story once. It was a fast day. They're in yeshiva. And the younger kids in yeshiva obviously don't fast. And a kid's walking around with a nice bag of, in those days, with super snacks. And he's like, your brother's friend. Oh, of course he'll give me. So he gives me. I eat it. And I realize, I see like the cup on top of the water fountain. I'm like, oh, today's a fast day. You'll just sometimes go through the motions. I'll have food accessible. I'll just eat it without thinking, well, today I can't eat that. But then there's another layer of how you might come to eat something. Is if you have some specks of chametz that somehow ended up in the binding of your sefer on your hands, and then you're using your hands, or that sefer gets put onto the table, and somehow gets into your mouth, yeah. That's chametz. So there's a chash, a person might come to eat it. So that's why we are very careful to do bedikah according to Tosas's chat. Now, we know chametz is a big aver, right? Du b'mezid, it's karis. Now, what's the size of the classic iser of Bali Rabbi Motze? Anyone know? I'm sure everyone knows. A kazayas, right? Right? A kazayas, especially those olives are bigger than ours.
Those are the jumbo ones.
Right, the jumbo ones. So to be over, to violate the iser of eating chametz on Pesach, you have to have a big olive worth of chametz. Now, there additionally is an idea we have by all isurim, an iser called chatzi share. Even if you don't have the full share of an olive, but less than that, half a share, it's not literally half, part of it, is also usur. But even that, when we say chatzi share is usur, that has to be a davar chashuv. Has to be something significant. Crumbs are not a davar chashuv. So chatzi share is your big olive, Josh. Excuse me. The iser b'al rabbi in matzeh is a big olive's worth of chametz.
Okay.
Right? If you're going to do something that's chayv misa, like you might as well get your money's worth. No. Right? Right? You have a big olive size worth. That's a gezayis. That's b'al rabbi in matzeh. Chatzi shir would be less than an olive's worth, but it still has to be a davar chashuv. The question is, okay, so chatzi shir is debatable, d'orayos d'rabbanan, but then there probably are levels below that, okay? It's not the size of an olive, it's not a piece which by itself is a chashuv a piece, right? I'm thinking to myself, like, how do you define something chashuv? Let's say you got for chachmanos, chocolate covered, you know, pretzels. Okay? Now, the average, you have a small pretzel, right? The size of that is less than the shear. It's less than kazayas, a small pretzel, chocolate covered. Not the big ones, but a small one. But yet, I would define that as davar chashuv. Right, they handcraft one thing, they sell it. Right, I think they have, I thought the pretzel mush because they have a whole tray of pretzels sitting there. Maybe I should put that up.
Was it show and tell? Wow.
You have to have something. Wow. You have to have some chametz.
Am I supposed to open this?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now those are bigger than a kazayas. Those are bigger than a kazayas.
It's not a seder
plate. Huh? It's not a seder plate.
No, it's a pretzel plate.
Yes.
The pretzel plate.
Yes.
If it's not a davar chashuv, but it adds up to...
Josh, we'll hold it up to the camera. That one, I believe, is bigger than... Not yet. That one is bigger than a kazayas itself. I mean, you have to crush it together and see the size. Okay. It's probably a kazayas. Each of those pretzels. But you can have pretzels smaller than that. I would say it's a davar chashuv. It'll be included in the iser chatzi shir. Yes. Say it again. What's that? Oh, excellent point. So I want to get there. Okay. sounds like you have levels of allowance. I didn't know the side of you.
I sincerely hope they're not 1,000 pieces.
Yeah. See, this is good stuff.
I mean, if something is not...
Ellie had these once before. Now... Now, see, I'm tempting you. This is really the point of these pretzels is really to show how easy it is to get chametz all over the place. It's like one bite, things go flying.
It's not good.
It's kosher. It's kosher.
Yeah, it's under
now,
I don't know if I trust you.
It's under the strict supervision of the NK.
Now. Yes.
Chatzi shir, is it only if it's a davar chashuv or if it's literally a chatzi shir of crumbs?
No. That's what I was defining. Chatzi shir has to be a davar chashuv.
Meaning if it's a bunch of assorted crumbs that add up to a
right.
chatzi shir.
Right. Now.
Amen.
Now, the Gemara also says that we know one of the ways to get rid of chametz is to be mevatel one's chametz. Right? Mevatel.
Make it batel.
Yeah.
The
Gemara says that crumbs are so not chashev, they're batel memela. Even if you don't do it, they're batel. So practically speaking, if you're not mevatel those tiny little crumbs with your knowledge, it's okay. Because they're batel anyway. So now let's. So okay, we get a kazayis. You have to be. That will be a problem. A chatzi shir will be a problem. What about less than that? So there l'chora is room right there to say that less than a kazayis, less than a davar chashuv of chatzi shir of that kazayis, if it's just crumbs, the Gemara says. Crumbs are batel memela. If crumbs are not considered yours simply like that, so am I going to come to violate Ba'yira Ba'yimatzeh? No. There's not going to be a violation of Ba'yira Ba'yimatzeh in small things. And if you're not going to violate it, let's start off with Rashi. And Rashi says the whole reason you do Bedika is to check that you don't violate Ba'yira Ba'yimatzeh. So if I have these small crumbs, I'm not going to violate it. Says no problem. Who says I have to ever look for small crumbs?
Well, let me ask this question.
Yes.
Let's say you do have some crumbs in your Gemara, and you have the habit of learning at your table.
This is a fantastic question. Ed, hold your question. I'll come right back to it. But let me, again, put forth the argument that we just gave. Say that again. If the whole reason why we do a bedikah, we do our cleaning, is to make sure we don't transgress the isser of having chametz. And what's the isser of having chametz? An olive's worth of chametz? Or you'll say either midrash or midrabban in the din of chatzi shir. But that only applies to chashuva things. But when it comes to crumbs that would be included in it, and it will come out, you don't have to search for crumbs. So if you have a crumb, Yitzchak, inside your big lagel set, you're okay, according to the way I just set it up.
Yeah.
That is the train of thought of Osho, quite a few people, but amongst them is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe says, since the whole Isser, Ba'yira Ba'yimatzeh, wouldn't apply to small crumbs, therefore, you don't have to do bedikah on small crumbs. And if you're keeping score, that means we just made the cleaning for Pesach a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
You do not have to look for small crumbs according to this opinion. Yes?
What is a Cheerio?
Oh!
That's a burrito.
Oh!
Oh, burrito. I understand. This is a double question. Obviously...
I should have put this on the Marmacomos. Josh,
be defined as a crumb, Josh, because, you know, it's a bria.
That's right.
But it's a very small item. So
in the safer one of the swarm I have, they write the following thing. They want to talk about small chashava pieces of chametz. Not chashav, I think, for din chatzi share. But they write, kigon sadi yud resh yud vav samach. Again, sadi yud resh yud vav strechel samach. This sefer happens to utilize English, and they write in English, Cheerios. I don't know how they ever expect me to read Cheerios from that. Cheerios. They don't do it well. But anyway, so yes, we'll have to see this. Now, let me contrast, though. I explained well why we don't have to do a bedika for less than a kazayas, these crumbs, utilizing the concept of Rashi, that the reason why we do bedika is because we're afraid that you might violate Bali Rabbi Matzeh. So all I have to do is look at the guidelines. What's a violation of having chametz on Pesach? Bali Rabbi Matzeh. If crumbs don't fit in it, then I'm off the hook. But, as we mentioned before, Tosis's position is the reason why we do bedika is I shouldn't come to eat things. It's not based on the size of the chametz vis-a-vis the Isser Bal Yerabai Matzeh. It's based on the practicality, are you going to come to eat it? And there are scenarios, whether you or your children, if they see a Cheerio on the floor in Pesach, pop goes the weasel.
In the mouth.
In the mouth.
That's right.
Right? And once they put chametz in the mouth, it's not so easy to get it out. It's not like a toy. It gets evolved.
Going through.
Huh?
It's going through.
Yeah, I haven't heard yet the Hatzalah call. You know, my kids swallowed chametz quick.
You're
right. Salva Valechayim. Okay, this is Katan Ochel Nuvelos they talk about. But so Lamaisa, on the other side of the equation, there are many others who disagree and say that one should look for even small crumbs, because of the chashash, you might come to eat it. You do have to look for Cheerios. Now, going back to Ramosha for a second, in Ramosha, when he writes the tshuva about this, this is in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem Hey. I didn't put this in the Marmar Komos yet. Ramosha does clear, he does debate what's considered small crumbs. When the Gemara refers to this idea that crumbs are innately batal, what is the size of the Gemara's crumbs? And Ramosha is not clear. You can make levels of crumbs, right? We start off the olive. We have under that something chashiv, partial share. But then you have crumbs. You could have different size crumbs. You could have tiny crumbs, and you can have bigger than tiny. We'll call them small crumbs. Rav Moshe is not exactly sure where to cut the line. He knows for sure tiny crumbs you don't have to look for. What about small crumbs? How do you slice it or break it? Rav Moshe is not sure. So even Rav Moshe says not so simple in that. But definitely tiny crumbs that are going to get stuck inside your lagel pieces. I don't know. That seemingly, we'll see. Now, there is a major machlokas over here. What to do? Do you have to do bedikas chametz? Do you have to clean your house with the goal to get rid of all little small crumbs? That's a major question in the aim of what you're trying to do. What's the halacha here? Yes?
Just to throw a slight monkey wrench, what about something like seasoned breadcrumbs? Tosfos shouldn't be worried because nobody's just going to sit there and eat breadcrumbs unless they're a little
So let me, right? The question was asked about seasoned breadcrumbs. And the questioner was asking, well, people don't eat seasoned breadcrumbs. First of all, I have seen yeshiva bachrim eat all types of things. How many people you know eat
what,
croutons? Croutons, right? I'm not talking in their soup.
Oh, that's a crouton. That's not a breadcrumb.
Oh, okay.
You buy cans of seasoned breadcrumbs. They're all tiny little things.
If it tastes good, people
eat
it. I thought you were around yeshiva long enough to see everything. You missed some things.
I was talking about humans.
Huh? Hey. So lemaisa.
It's also a dove that has more value to it because it's seasoned.
Yeah, it tastes.
So right. Maybe
no,
has
but
higher
that would be a
level.
Rashi for Tosos.
No, but even
in
Tosos's world, if
you
it gets mixed in, if it's on your hand, it gets
still
mixed in.
Breadcrumbs, you clean
right?
It up, but you
why is my matzah tasting better? Oh, look at my hands.
Huh?
You never know.
This matzah tastes delicious.
Right.
It must be Tomitz.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the question always is, first and foremost, what does the Mishnah Berurah say about this? And this I find absolutely fascinating. The Chafetz Chaim in his Mishnah Berurah, first of all, there's no clear-cut halacha. People maybe make me tuke him from the Mechaber, from the Shulchan Aruch. But there's no clear-cut halacha in the Shulchan Aruch about this Shaila. There is no Mishnah Berurah about this Shaila, clear-cut. There is no Ber Halacha clearly about the Shaila. The one potential source they found is a footnote of all the spots in the Mishnah Berurah. The least likely to find it is in the Shaar HaTzion, the footnotes which you have on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah. That's where people dug up a potential reference to this issue. What does a Chafetz Chaim hold in terms of looking for chametz? How far you have to go? So, I bring you, really, the Shaar HaTzion is not in its... It's really its own discussion. You don't need the Shulchan Aruch, you don't need Mishnah Berurah. Just for the shorthand, it's talking about pigeon coops and looking for chametz over there. You have a farm and you have chicken coops. So the footnote on the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar HaTzion, Os Lamed Gimel, he talks about I'll read from the second line. Uvim emetz mistimas lashon arashba v'ne yiruchem from these rishonim shekasu l'dais shetanagoyim mitsuyim. A place where roosters go in. Ein tzarech bedika. Majum b'shita sta'afshu magum sha'ochen. Even if it's a place where they're eating. The bayis shedarim bo b'vali ochem sham gamkin. Right, if you have chickens, roosters in your house, they're going to eat there. They're not exactly the cleanest eaters. They could have crumbs fell off their beak. So why don't they check over there? The Chafetz Chaim says, Mishum de lo chashiv zeh levadai. It's not considered as a place that vali has chametz. Why? The avim neimer di efshet lo yipo shal mei ha-shulchan. Come on. When your animals, pets eat, it's going to fall off the table. But dilma rak pirurim. It's only crumbs. Dimimila batal. That are bottled by themselves. Sounds like from the Chafetz Chaim is saying, if all I'm talking about are crumbs, crumbs are bottle, like we know from Rashi, you won't violate Bayirah Bayimatzeh. Since crumbs are bottle, you don't have to check in your house for this. From a line in passing in this Shaar HaTzion, it sounds like the Chafetz Chaim holds, you do not have to check for crumbs, which would make everything so much easier. And in fact, none other than Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, when you look, I have from the Dir Shu Ha'aros, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is medayik from this language of the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim holds this. You do not have to clean your house to look for small crumbs. Yes?
I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it. He sounds almost like he's saying, maybe it's only crumbs, and then on the side that it's only crumbs, you don't have to check.
Right. Right. He's trying to explain the Rishonim. So his pshat explained the Rishonim is, yeah, you know, it's probably only crumbs. And if, in terms of crumbs,
I think Dilma makes it sound like he's not even saying that.
He's explaining pshat.
Like
okay.
Maybe it's
yeah.
Not even a most likely. It's,
okay. Well, you'll hold your thought. They do bring here in Dirshu, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer for soldiers, famous sefer. Machne Yisrael.
That's for World War I, I believe.
Yeah. And there, the same Chafetz Chaim writes, you know, that's not a sefer where he's looking for chumras. Shechover livdo gam achre pachos mikazayas. Chafetz Chaim does write, you have to look for less than a kazayas. seemingly it sounds contradictory to the simple reading of this Shaar Tzion, unless, Chmiel, you read it like you. It's not, it doesn't really mean to say that over here. You look on the bottom of this quote from Dirshu, they have like four other spots where you could potentially dig in and try to see what the Chafetz Chaim's opinion is. But this is the, potentially the clearest. This Shaar Tzion, Shlomo Zalman wanted to use as a source that the Chafetz Chaim holds that it's mutter, that's permitted, that you, excuse me, that you don't have to look for small crumbs, but it's definitely not pashut, definitely from other writings of the Chafetz Chaim, so not so simple. L'maisa, what I have seen is pages and pages and pages of modern day poskim debating this topic. Which way do we go? Yes.
Could there be a bifurcation between what you have to look for before Yom Tov and what you have to worry about if you find it on Yom Tov?
Interesting. Yeah, perhaps. But, you know, we're talking really about Hilchos Bedikas Chametz, you're finding right now. You're asking what happens if you find any type of Chametz on Pesach, right? We burn it. It has happened. I have too many stories about it. But these things happen, you burn it. Now, you're right, it's hard to burn a little speck. But yeah, you get rid of it, flush it down the toilet, if not, these type of things. Now, it smokes, you have to wait till after the
Chomolid. It was to cover it during...
Right. But today we're really just focusing on your bedika, what you're cleaning before Pesach. So it comes out really a major machlokas achronim what to do. Do we say that you have to do a bedika all the way to make sure that there's no crumbs around? Or can you rely on, no, little crumbs anyway are going to be bottle. Since they're going to be bottle, I'm not going to violate Bayi Rabbi Matz like Rashi says. And therefore, I don't have to do bedika. Bedika is to make sure I don't transgress Bayi Rabbi Matz. I'm not going to transgress it with these little crumbs. Right? Aguf, if those little crumbs there wouldn't have been the same chiv to burn. It's not a violation of Bali Rabbi Matzah. So, hold on one second. Let me just say out the psak. So, there is definitely, you know, I would say, you know, room for people to go both ways on this. Many are makel based on this. There are those that are not. And they look for chametz in all things. One heter, seemingly everyone holds on that. Mishnah Berurah spells out another spot. Once it's on the floor, and it's a place where it'll get trampled on, which you wouldn't come to eat it, then the kuli alma is not a problem. You'd have to look for chametz. Remember, the tzad to look for little pieces are going to be bottle. The whole tzad to look for little pieces, and it might come to eat it. Okay. If it's smashed on the floor, if it's behind your refrigerator, all dusty, all
there. The back of the refrigerator.
Okay, the back of the refrigerator is different. I'm talking behind the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right, yeah. Like, well, I can't see why you'd have to move a refrigerator, but again, I'm not talking to everybody. Don't think my wife is listening. Now, you brought up before, Ed, an excellent question. So in terms of Legos, you do not have to give your Legos a bath, I would think. But lemaisa, if there's little pieces jugged, you know, in spouts, there are some that might be machmer. But to take apart a whole big Lego set, it's not so easy. So I would tell you that you don't have to do it. Now, let's talk about svarim. Svarim are a very integral part of Jewish life. We are the people of the book. And we take svarim everywhere, including our tables. I remember I had a schus to be eating. I'll leave out the name. I was eating once, not my father-in-law, with two big Rosh Yeshivas on a Shabbos day. And I remember the Rebbetzin, the wife, was quite a cook. There were tons of dishes on the table. But by the end of the meal, there were way more svarim on the table than dishes. There's constantly a constant flow of svarim to the table. We were debating all different topics. It was quite fascinating. That's what happened on Yeshiva Lane in Baltimore. But quite fascinating. Now, so Svarim get to the table. So, in terms of Svarim, what does one do before Pesach? Do you have to clean all your Svarim? Now, if you have, you know, the five books of Moses, that's your one set of Svarim. Okay, it's one thing, one set. If you, the bigger the library, the more you might have to check. So I put on Rev Shmuel Kamenetsky's Pesach. Let's look over here for a second. The bottom of your sheets. It brings Misha Nizer B'meshach Kol Hashana Shalohavi Svarim Al Shulchan Achila. People do not bring all year round Svarim onto the table where you eat. Ain't Tzarech Liv Dukla Sam Mechametz, you know, right? If you know chametz didn't get in them, now I'm not sure with these, you know, like the Shtei Dinan. You know, do you mean I didn't bring it to the table during a meal? What happens if after a meal I use that same table and I learned over there with the sefer? I wiped it down. Okay, yeah, it might depend how well you clean it. Okay. Then he writes, Misha Darko b'meshakol hashana lahavi sorma shulchan achila chayiv livda chasvarim afal pisha chamin shabasocham himrat perum ba'alma. You do have to check it, even though the chametz that might get into those svarim are little crumbs. Ed, this is exactly the point you brought up before. Seemingly, the issue of whether you check up svarim for chametz, if you just search through svarim for chametz, is dependent upon the issue we brought up before. Do you have to look for small crumbs? You're not getting a big piece, you know, a quarter of a donut, you know, inside your mishabura, even if you bring it to share every week. It's not happening. We're talking, obviously, about crumbs. So the issue, do you have to look in your svarim for crumbs? Well, that should be based on the machlokas we set up before. What makes it even funny, more interesting, the gra seems to hold one does not have to look for crumbs. Yet, the Gra checked his Svarim for chametz. How do you explain that? In general, the Gra wasn't looking for chametz inside his lagos. But he was looking for chametz inside his Svarim.
When was he playing with his lagos?
When was the Gra playing with his lagos? Excellent question.
Where was he playing with his lagos? And where was he learning that of his Svarim?
Probably playing with lagos where he did math.
Now, people are listening to the shir, and they're saying, this rabbi is debating where the Gra played with his Legos. I don't really mean the Gra played with Legos. We know he did learn math in the bathroom, so maybe he played with Legos in the bathroom too, okay? But...
I'm assuming he was not bringing his chametz in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He used were Legos. Right.
The Gra's kids, we don't know exactly when, you know, I don't know if they had Legos back then, but you never know. Quite sophisticated.
He learned a lot, so he probably ate while he was learning.
Oh, that's a good
word. You're sitting and learning at the table.
You know, the Gra ate his bread dipped in oil. So, yeah, I don't know the crumbs of that bread to fall off. But, so, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky really answers this stira with the Gra. Because he says, by Svarim, like we talked about, there's a phrase where there's chashash, that maybe the crumbs will get onto your hands, and then you're going to come to eat, and you have a chashash like that. So in a case of svarim where we're choshesh, you're going to go from touching the sefer to touching the food, and there might be crumbs in that. So there, even the gra's machmer, we have to look for crumbs. But in a scenario where all the whole issue with the crumbs, it's just random, it's not going to come to the table, not going to come to you eating, there you don't have to look for it. So, in conclusion, Pesach is definitely one of the Yom Tovim. We get a lot of schar, right? Bedikas chametz is a mitzvah. And really, all the blood, sweat, and tears that people invest in cleaning for Pesach, that's an amazing involvement for a mitzvah. You know, I think men are quite busy building a sukkah before sukkahs, but just by, you know, men are busy building a sukkah before sukkahs for a day or two, or whenever they decide to build it before. Women are involved cleaning for Pesach for weeks. And it is a big deal, it is a big schus. should never downgrade what they're doing. But halakhically speaking, there is room for a major machlokas, and you never know in life. Some years, you know, it might be harder. Make it a chasna, I don't know. This is a good thing to tell people, right? Searching for chametz, there's yesh al mi lismoch to say one does not have to do a bedika where you're looking for crumbs, you're looking for big pieces. Makes life a little bit easier. Both say thank you very much for coming.